Welcome to the Option One podcast. I'm here with the lovely Priya.
Hi.
On our date. Look, got it all set up. Oh, these are for you.
Oh, thanks.
Flowers. Purple.
I love them. Purple, obviously.
Favourite colour. And I got your card.
I'm actually going to take these home and put them in a vase.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Got your card as well. You can read it out if you like.
You are my beautiful wife.
Oh, I didn't realise we're married. Oh, I didn't. That's good to know.
Well, apparently, if the card
says
it. Well,
you said it, so I guess it's kind of standard now,
must
isn't
be true,
it?
I've been trying to find a word that explains exactly what you mean to me. Funny, cute, beautiful. Thanks. Happy birthday.
No, I crossed that bit out.
You're through to option one podcast.
Everything.
That's what you mean to me, everything.
To Priya, love Sam.
That's it.
Oh, that was deep, Sam.
I know. Well, the card said it all. You know what I mean? There's no more words I can put on everything.
You didn't need to put any more message in there, did you?
No.
Right, well, thanks for that, Sam. I'll take that home and I'll pop that up on my mantelpiece.
Yeah.
Till it collects too much dust.
Well, yeah, and then we can take it down because I assume that's it now. We need to move in. Husband and wife, sorted.
Yeah, done deal.
I thought,
should have known you'd decorate the set with roses.
Well, I thought like a date theme would kind of make sense because I want to date you. So I've got like strawberries, chocolate. You've had a little bit already, all right?
Yeah, I have had. I've had a bit already.
I burnt that, by the way. That's why there's little
bits. I thought it was crunchy. I thought you had got like
no.
a crunchy.
No,
you know,
burn
like
it.
The bars of chocolate, and they've got little crunchy pieces in it.
Is that
and
your
I thought you had. Yeah, I love a crunchy bar. I'm not really a massive chocolate girl. I'm more a savoury person or sweets.
Oh, okay.
I don't usually eat chocolate that much.
No.
But if I was to eat a chocolate bar, a crunchy bar would be my go-to. So that's what I thought that was.
I always go Whisper. Controversial. I love a Whisper. It's light and chocolatey and heavy. Anyway, not important.
Like an Aero.
Yeah, like an Aero. Yeah, but I always go Cadbury's.
That's a bit boring to me, to be honest. I don't want it to just be all chocolate. Like, the thing I like about a crunchy is that there's, like, a little bit of chocolate, but predominantly it's honeycomb.
Yeah.
Or, like, I like a Twix bar because, again, there's just a little bit of chocolate, but predominantly it's caramel and biscuit.
Yeah. Cool. So.
I think that's what I can think of for now. Oh, I like a Yorkie bar, actually.
The raisin and biscuit one.
It doesn't say that anymore, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's strange how they changed that, isn't
it? It's 2023 and, you know, certain girls may be offended by that.
It isn't for girls. I used to get it because it wasn't for girls. That was a good selling point for me.
Well, when I was
like, nah, you can't have it.
When I was at school, we used to have a couple of vending machines in the canteen, and in between lessons, I would quickly run in there to use the vending machine, and my go-to was always that crunchy bar, that Yorkie bar. And beef hula hoops.
Yes,
and
beef hula
hoops.
I was
never once offended by the fact it said not for girls, because I mean, I was a girl eating it, so clearly it was for girls.
And no one stopped you.
Yeah.
So we can sit and talk about chocolate and feed each other all day, but I think people want to find out a lot about you, P.
All right. Well, I'm just going to pop these on the floor.
Yeah, pop on the floor.
I'll come back to those later.
So when you first started, what made you make that choice?
Preeti.
How did it come about?
So she had been contacted, I can't remember how, I want to say Facebook, because that's really all that existed back then, wasn't it?
Mm.
She had been contacted to do a shoot, and obviously they could see from her profile pictures and whatever that she was a twin. So then they were like, oh yeah, you should both do it together. And this was always a thing that she wanted to do, like glamour modeling and being all like.
So what did you want to do at that point?
My career choice has changed a lot. When I was younger, at one point I wanted to be a policewoman, I wanted to be a barrister, then I wanted to be in PR, and at the time I didn't even have a clue what PR was. I just watched Sex and the City and thought Sam's job looked cool. So I was like, yeah, you know what?
That lifestyle looks pretty good.
I want to be in PR, but I had fuck all clue what it entailed.
I'm Amanda from Sex and the City.
Yeah, and I had no clue what I wanted to do. Like, I went to uni just to kill some time, so I didn't have to make a decision.
I did the same thing. I think a lot of people did that for uni.
And I had no clue, to be honest with you.
And then this came about.
And yeah, so then she got contacted. I just blindly agreed. And then when we were on this shoot, the photographer was like, have you ever heard of Babe Station? Like, you should do that because it's, you know, regular work, they pay well, like, it's really good exposure, blah, blah, blah. And Pete's like, no, what's Babe Station? I've never heard of that. And I'm like, fuck off, we're not doing Babe Station.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, are you mad? Like, we're not doing that. And I was like, everyone will see us. Like, it's so bait. We're not doing it. And she was like, well,
because back then it was obviously, Babe Station was like the only
it
thing.
It was the only thing. Like, webcam didn't exist. No. There certainly wasn't, you know, like, subscription sites for guys to sign up to or anything like that. It was literally just Babe Station. And I was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Don't be silly. And I was like, everyone's going to see it. Like, we can't. She was like, well, I don't know what it is. So obviously not everyone's going to watch it, are they? And I thought that that was the end of it.
Okay.
And then one day I was just at, we lived in a flat together and I was just at home there and I got this call in it. Do you remember Emma Hibbert? Oh, no, I don't think you would have ever met her. But back when we were in
London.
Great Portland Street. Yeah. I can say that now, can't I? Because it doesn't exist there anymore. So when we were on Great Portland Street, she was like the PR manager and recruitment. She was in the recruitment as well. And she's, even to this day, she's a good friend of mine, but she called me and she was like, hi, is that Priya? And obviously back then, no one called me that name, did they?
No.
And
so when did you, on the shoot, did you come up with those?
Yeah,
things?
We came up with it for the shoot because they were like, you know, like, what do you want your stage names to be? And we were like, oh, something Indian and twinny sounding.
Yeah.
And then our mum went, Pretty and Priya. Just like that. She was like, Pretty and Priya. And then Pretty went, oh, I want to be Pretty. And I went, all right, I'll be Priya. and then that was it. But that was like literally, that was the only time. So then when someone called me and she was like, hi, is that Priya? I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, I got your application for Babe Station. And I was like, my application for what? And then she was like, yeah, your application for Babe Station. We'd really love to bring you and your sister in for like to meet us, to see the studio and then potentially do a trial night. And then so I called Preeti and I was like, what have you done?
Yeah.
And she was like, I went online and I applied for us. And then she was like, go on, just come and see it with me. Like, and I was like, all right, whatever. So I just went along with it. And we went and saw the studio. They were talking about it. And I thought, you know, well, actually, this seems like it'd be all right.
Yeah.
And then obviously they mentioned the money aspect
of it. And it was like, sounds really all right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this does sound all right, doesn't it? And then so I agreed to this trial night. And they said, no, you'll only have to come in for like 2 hours max, do a couple 20-minute sections, just see how you get on. And I mean, I don't know if this is a compliment or not, but they were like, when we went and did the trial shift, they were like, you're literally like a duck to water.
Yeah, that's good.
And then Clinton.
Did you feel like that when you were doing it? Did you feel like you kind of
got
it straight away?
Yeah, didn't feel weird to me at all. No, didn't feel weird to me. Like, I went in there, the whole vibe, the atmosphere, like everyone, there was a really good group of people working that night. And back then you would have like 8-9 girls on night, like 4-5 producers.
Yeah.
It was a proper vibe. Like, there was music, everyone was partying. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And I was only freshly turned 21 as well.
Yeah, of course.
You've got to remember, like, back then I was a proper party girl as well.
Yeah, and it's like, I can get paid for
this. So I was like, wow, this is like, and I was going out partying all the time. And I just thought, like, this is like partying and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And with obviously this, you know, dry hump in the air on TV and, you know, talking to some people on the phone.
That's a good way of putting it, to be fair.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, obviously I don't do that in the clubs, but, you know, let's improv.
Yeah.
And, and then I remember Clint was obviously in charge that night. And he was like, listen, I know they told you just a couple of hours, but like, you girls, like, you're killing it. Like, you've just come in and it's like, your natural's like, do you want to just stay the whole night and do the whole night? And we were like, yeah, all right then. And then, yeah. And then like, literally the next day, Emma called us and she was like, yeah, like, we loved you. We want you as part of the rota and the team. And then we just got chucked straight in the deep end, like 10 shifts each a month, 12 shifts each a month. And the rest is history. We've never looked back.
So, like, obviously back then, like, there wasn't, was there Instagram and Twitter? And...
There wasn't. There was just Facebook back then. No, Twitter, I tell a lie, Twitter existed. So... I set up a Twitter. I remember I did my first section. I was on screen for 20 minutes. Mm. I came off screen, looked at my phone, and I had the most insane amount of messages from people I had gone to school with that I hadn't spoke to in years. And they were like, oh, were you just on Babe Station? And I was like, I told you people watch it.
So is that when you knew, oh my God, this is a big deal, there's a lot of things? Or did you expect that before you started?
No, I mean, I knew that it wasn't going to be really as inconspicuous as Pretty thought it would be. I knew that part, but I definitely didn't expect to come off screen, look at my phone, and like every Tom, Dick and Harry had messaged me saying, oh my God, did we just see you on Babe Station?
Because you were like... Well, you kind of just went with it and you were a bit indecisive before. Did that then make you draw back a little bit? Or did
no,
you just go for
no,
it?
No, because I don't care what people think. Yeah. And I mean, even more so now I'm in my mid-30s. I just literally, like, as long as I'm happy and I know my truth, like, I genuinely don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
But I didn't even really at 21, like, I just don't, like, I don't care if I know I'm good and I'm having a good time. Like, I just don't care about other people's negative opinions. And no one was sending me rude messages. It was just like, oh my God, did we see you on Babe Station?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you dirty little slut, we just watched you on Babe Station, tramp line.
Yeah.
No one's actually saying that to me. Do you know what I mean? So, no, I didn't really care, to be honest.
Yeah. And then, like, Instagram obviously came along and then OnlyFans came along and then other stuff came along. So you've had to adapt.
Move with the times. Exactly. Yeah.
How do you find that?
Interesting. I remember, like, Instagram came out, and at this point I had probably been at Babe Station a good few years by the time Instagram came out. And I think I'm always a little bit late jumping on something. Mm. Like, I like my little comfort zone and I'm very set in my ways kind of thing. And I don't really like to just jump outside of it. And I'm like, oh, you know, I never needed it before. I don't need it now. And I'm always late on the bandwagon with it. And so I think Instagram had been out for a minute before I ended up setting a profile up. And I remember setting the profile, I had to work the night before and I was in bed, like lying in bed being lazy, and I just set an Instagram profile up, and then like 5 minutes later I looked at it and I already had about 300 followers, and I was like, wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
But I mean, Instagram's like, it's a ball ache, isn't it? They just delete you every 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah,
so or they shadow ban you. Yeah. So like, I just, but point, it's all a bit pointless, really.
Because on that one, like, you can control what that is. But like, when you did, because you had a PR person before, when you did stuff before, would it be like, what would it be? Would it be like, well, magazines, I guess, and stuff like that?
Or... Yeah, we would go to like, it was almost like, I know this sounds really weird, but it was almost like we were like little mini celebs at one point.
Okay.
Like, we would go to clubs and do personal appearances. Well, and, you know, they'd give us our own table, like Babe Station in the house.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh God, I never imagined this.
Yeah. And then you did like, obviously, you did like the Channel 5 documentary and stuff like that with...
Good God, I never thought that many people would watch that either. You know, I remember I'd been on holiday in Italy like 2 years after that documentary had initially aired, but because of On Demand and them just replaying it on like MTV and like Channel 4 and things like that, or wherever they're replaying it, I remember like being at the pool at my hotel in Italy, and someone was like, oh yeah, you're those twins off that documentary, aren't you? And even to this day, people still like, oh yeah, I watched you on that documentary with your mum. And I'm like, wow, that I just never thought that would kick off like that.
So far, yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember again, I had worked the night before. So like in the morning, I had slept in really late. It was afternoon by the time I woke up. And I remember waking up and on my like private personal Facebook, everyone had been tagging me in all these like online, like Daily Mail online or the Sun online articles about this documentary. And I was like, oh my God, like, my granddad's going to see this.
And he did, didn't he?
He did, yeah, he did. It got back to him, yeah.
Yeah. And it went down all right, though, in the end.
Yeah. I remember, actually, when they were filming that documentary, they had said to me, like, is there any, like, what's your family like about your job? And obviously, like, my mum and dad are, like, ridiculously open-minded and supportive. Mm. And I can talk to them about anything and everything. And I was like, but my Indian grandparents, they don't know. Mm. Like, they're old, you know. I thought of them as old and traditional. And so I was like, you know, I'm a real granddad's girl, so I don't want him to know, because, like, he'll definitely disown me. Mm. And I remember one of the girls that was interviewing us for the documentary, she said, I reckon you're not crediting him enough with his unconditional love for you. Mm. And which is right, because that's the upbringing I had, like, yeah, unconditional love. Mm. And whatever not that I was like a bad, naughty kid, but I was just always, I always knew that whatever, I was loved,
yeah,
by my parents and my grandparents and my close family. But I was, in my head, I was convinced.
Well, you were worried, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know, like you would be.
Yeah, so he found out, and I mean, luckily my mum had to deal with most of the conversations with him regarding it,
yeah,
and she had to explain what it was to him, mm, and things like that. And I remember him saying, I don't want it to change them though, like, they're such nice girls, like, I don't want it to change them. And my mum's like, well, I mean, they've been doing about 6-7 years already, and yeah, you haven't noticed a change,
yeah,
so
exactly.
I think you're all right. And I mean, even to this day now, like, when I go around there, he'll always, without fail, he'll always give me a hug, and he'll always say to me, like, I'm so proud of you, you're, yeah, such an amazing woman. So, and he's never let me know that he's, like, even if it did bother him a little bit, he's never let me know that.
Mm.
He's never made me feel one little ounce of disappointment.
I think it has changed you though, but more in a positive light.
Mm.
Do you think if you never did this job, you'd be who you are now? Because it must build confidence doing what you do every single night, because it's not easy, even...
I think I've always been a really confident person.
Yeah.
Like, my dad said when we were kids, we were just like these loud, little, confident kids that he had to just rein back in. Like,
yeah,
sit down, like, you just go and talk to everyone and anyone. Like,
yeah,
you're ridiculously... I've always been quite confident, and I've always known my own mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that it's hard to say whether it's this job or not, because I've never really done any other job. This has been my career since I've been 21.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say what I would have been like had I done. But I always knew for a fact that whatever I ended up doing, I was always going to be my own boss.
Okay.
Like, I was always going to set my own terms,
yeah,
and everything was going to be done like how I decided it was going to be done, and
yeah,
to my schedule. So, and obviously this job
allows for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you 5 minutes every so often, but that's as much as I can.
I'm like, I'll give you 10, mate.
That's it. It's already been 10 minutes.
I will go on when I'm ready.
It's normally like, yes, Sam, in a minute.
I remember when me and Pretty won the Biggest Diva Awards. I was like almost offended for 5 minutes.
What were the Biggest Diva Awards? What was
they
that?
They did, oh God, this is going back years ago, because it was at Great Portland Street.
We should do that again.
They did the Babe Station Awards, and I can't remember who voted. I can't remember whether it was fans that voted or it was in-house. Mm. And like, I want to say that we all voted for each other,
okay,
and that it was in-house. And they did a Babe Station Awards, and Preeti and I won the Biggest Diva. And they went, and I didn't go to the awards thing for whatever reason. I think I had been on the show that night.
Yeah.
And so when I can't remember who it was either, but when they gave us the award and they were like, oh, here's your award for Biggest Diva, I was like, what?
Yeah.
How rude. I'm not accepting that. And I was like, you can keep that, Tracy. I don't fucking want it.
The other thing I can think of when you did the public thing, I remember you went over to... Was it in Ireland, Alan, when Babe Station... Yes.
Did you go?
No.
No, you never did you?
It was you, Alexa Brooke, and Vicky Nani, wasn't it? Because I saw come up ages ago when I was searching Priya.
I don't know what made me agree to it. I just remember Mo calling
me. I thought you came across really well on it.
I just remember Mo calling me.
So for people that don't know what it is, so Babe Station accidentally... had a problem where it was like wasn't it, calls were going to this village?
So basically the premium rate number that had gone on screen, when you called that premium rate number, it was actually calling like individuals' houses in that area of an
that
area.
That is the worst thing
ever.
I'm
sure it was called Mayo,
okay.
Somewhere in Ireland.
Oh, God.
Yeah, when they were calling that number, and I remember it was Alexa, Vicky Nani, and myself, we went, and I remember Mo...
Did you get prepared for it, or did you know what you were going to say?
No, he gave us, like, 2 days' notice.
And then were you like...
He just called up. He just called me one day. He was like, basically, this has happened. Like, I
need some of Irish roots, Pete.
Yeah. We just need...
Please, you could do the sale.
Yeah, we just need someone that's going to... We need a few girls to go over there. Like, I want ones that are, like, you know, going to be able to, like, represent us well and be a bit eloquent,
worked,
like,
though.
In the way they deliver it. And at first, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Behave like... Oh. And then he... I'm sure there was a little financial incentive that encouraged me. But then he told me that Vicky Nani and Alexa were going. And then he said, like, Dan Murphy was going and a couple of the other guys, and I thought, and he said we were going to get to go over there and we were going to get put up in a hotel and that we would get treated to like dinner and stuff, and I thought, oh, all right, then,
I'll go.
It was actually a lot.
And then did you have to talk to the people that it happened to and stuff like that, or was it
so weird? We turned up there, we drove into this little village, there's all these people like stood there waiting, there's all like paparazzi, like a news crew with a guy with his microphone and a camera crew, and I was like, oh God, wow, this must be a proper small town if this is a big thing over here. But yeah, you know, Irish people are lovely, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it was a crack.
Yeah. Yeah. You love Ireland anyway, because you
go quite
a lot.
Of course I do, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been recently?
We went in February.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went in February. I like to try and get over there it is. And where my dad lives is like right on the seafront.
Okay.
So you get like the cold sea breeze.
Nice.
Even in the summer, it doesn't get that hot, to be fair.
Yeah.
But my dad's one of those people that never thinks it's cold. So he's fine.
Oh, okay. He's one of those people. Top off in February.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's warm. And I'm like, no, it's bloody freezing.
Yeah, because you did your, you recently went to Ibiza, didn't you? You're into Pilates and stuff.
Pilates, reformer Pilates retreat. Yeah. That's
proper
my thing now.
Well, when
Pilates.
I spoke to you last night, you were buzzing about it, weren't you?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I expected it because in the last couple of years, Preeti and I have really got into reformer Pilates. It's like really become a way of life for us.
What is it?
So you'd go on these reformer machines and they're like you get, I'm terrible explaining it, you know.
What is it, you sit on it and it moves forward?
Yeah,
and
moves forwards and back. You get hand straps, leg straps, you do all sorts of, you know, it's quite the sport actually.
Yeah.
And it's not for the faint hearted. It's not easy, you know. Actually, a woman in our class the other week, she didn't brace her core very well. And when we did one of the moves, because she didn't brace her core, the poor woman went flying forward and fell through the machine, and she was covered in cuts and bruises.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Do you think I could do it?
They do a taster session, right, for newbies to go and learn how the ropes of it, because, you know, if you're a bit careless with it, you could do yourself an injury, you know.
And careless and me kind of goes.
Is it a bit like yoga then? No.
Yeah,
Pilates,
but more of a workout than yoga. Yoga's more of a stretch. I'm not really a massive fan of yoga, actually. I tried it for a while, but I find it a bit boring, to be fair. But reformers Pilates is like an actual workout as well.
Yeah.
And I won't have anyone tell me any different.
Okay.
Well.
Okay.
Well, when you're doing Pilates, I can like, you know, walk the dogs or something. And stuff like that.
Well, I've only got one dog, but all right then, yeah.
When we're together.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I was thinking on that line, have you heard of the 36 question quiz to make you fall in love with your partner? Have you heard of that?
Why would I have heard of that?
Because
who has heard of that?
It's quite a big thing.
Is it a well-known thing?
It actually is. There's like, so basically if you go online, it's like it builds like friendships closer together, or relationships, whichever way you want to phrase this.
What? So is it like for people who've got fractured relationships?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just like to build a stronger relationship with your partner. So you ask quite intimate questions.
Well, that was a really crunchy bit.
Yeah? Burnt. I'm fine. Yeah.
I knew when I walked in the building and smelt burnt sugar, you were something to do with it.
Yeah, well, it took a while to... Anyway. It was the smoke. It was the smoke that kind of...
Sorry,
stressed us out.
I sidetracked you there.
That's okay.
So do you want to do this quiz then?
Well, do you think it could... I mean, I'm not going to do all 36, but I've got some...
Is it to make me fall in love with you or you fall in love with me? Because you probably don't need that then.
No, that's true. there's only one goal here, for you to fall in love with me. Yeah? Yeah?
Let's give it a go then.
You don't sound convinced.
Call me sceptical, but how's 36 questions going to suddenly make you fall in love with someone? I think there's a bit of a problem if you fall in love that easily. Just 36 questions and bam, you're in love.
I've got to try what I can.
You're about to find out.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just
prove
do a
me wrong.
We'll just do a couple questions because if we do all 36, then she will fall in love with me and then it becomes a problem. Do you know what I mean?
I get bored quickly and easily as well. So 36 sounds like a lot of questions.
That's all right. I've only done a couple.
Okay, go on then. Fire away.
So we have to answer. We can both answer them if you need. But basically, what would you say is your perfect day for you? What is your perfect day?
Oh, gosh. I don't like being put on the top of these questions because it's, you know, okay, well, I'd like to start with the morning reformers set class.
Yeah.
I'd like it to be a sunny day.
Yeah.
I love a pub lunch, so maybe you could do that.
Yeah. And then what would happen normally, I'd say exactly the same answer and then would be, oh my God, we're having the same answers to these questions. And then that's how the love begins, I think.
Or I would just be like, are you just copying me?
Well, maybe, but I would actually like a sunny day and I like walking the dog as well. And I do like a pub lunch.
I never said walking the dog.
Did you not?
No.
I wasn't.
That's more of a chore to me than an enjoyment. Yeah.
Oh, no, that is one of my things, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I like going out and walking, for sure. Please be mine.
Also, if it's a nice day and my hay fever's not playing up too much, I would like to maybe go like wine tasting. That's fun to me.
That is cool.
I like wine tasting.
I've never been wine tasting.
No, me neither. So I don't know. I like drinking wine, but I've never been actual wine tasting.
I'd love to go wine tasting. You could do those for treats. You can go out in wherever.
There's a couple of wineries near me, you know.
Is there?
Yeah.
Can we go wine tasting?
Yeah. All right then. Yeah.
Yeah. That's sorted.
Oh look, we're in love.
One question. Well, I got a date, didn't I? It's the first step. You thought this wasn't gonna work as well, did you? You thought, yeah, carry on having the coup and the chocolate. It's all working. Chocolate's a natural, what's it called?
Aphrodisiac.
There you go. All part of my plan.
Okay, go on then, next one.
Go on. When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
In the car on the way here.
And you sung to me 2 seconds ago before we started this podcast.
Because I gave
Saints.
You a little rendition of what happened in the car.
Yeah, which was All Saints.
Yeah, you know that one that goes... Hold on. Have I got any kiwi in my teeth?
No.
Okay. A few questions that I need to know. How you could ever hurt me so. I need to know what I've done wrong and how long it's been going on. Did I always start the fight?
And then it's good.
My head's spinning.
That's good.
Anyway, I won't sing because, you know, I'm not like Preeti. I acknowledge I'm not a good singer.
Yeah, that was a touchy subject. We sing in the studio. We used to do Meatloaf.
Yeah, but that's sad now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but at the end of... So when I used to do the 5:30s and it was like, well, it was be me, it's only one producer, so it'd be like me and you at the end. We'd always do...
He would perform Bat Out of Hell for me. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Well, no, he wouldn't actually sing it. We would play Bat Out of Hell.
Like a bat out of hell, I'll be coming to the fun in fun. That one.
But he's so good at performing it. Like, he does the air guitar. He word for word knows all the lyrics.
Yeah.
He's got the dance moves. He's brilliant at it.
Okay. I've got a proposition. I mean, if you want to come back again... If this video that we're watching now, we're always going to go for 1,000 likes. If it gets 1,000 likes, now, obviously, I assume you've watched the Meatloaf music video.
Yeah.
Could we recreate that music video? You know, I'd Do Anything for Love, that one.
Oh, it's like Beauty and the Beast.
The Beast one, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so, my God.
So, George, you're
where are we going to get a motorbike from, though?
Gary's got a motorbike.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah? Okay, fabulous.
And we just need some woods and we just need some light in and we need to just go...
There's woods around here, over
sorted.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just need to... We need a good makeup artist as well because Meatloaf has...
Long hair.
Well, no, but he has that mask face. He has that beast face, doesn't he?
Mm-mm.
But we can make it happen.
And then I love the girls bit in that song. You know, how much I love the girls
bit. She tells me to stop before if I start singing it. No, it's my bit now.
And I'm like, and if the song's coming on while I'm on screen, I'm like, okay, I've got to mute the phone. I can't take any calls right now because I've got to perform and I have to do the girls bit.
I'm sure you've done it on the mic on telly. We must have done.
Probably at some point. Sounds a bit like me.
That's it.
I remember when he sadly passed away and you were like the first person to message
me. Yeah, I
me.
Know. So, already on question two, and we're going to a winery and we're making a music video, so that's sorted.
Cool.
We've got a lot to do.
I might have been wrong.
What in your life do you feel most grateful for?
My family and my friends.
Yeah. I'd say that's the same.
The love I have in my life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me.
What's life without love, eh?
Yes, yeah.
I know that sounds cheesy, but I'm honestly a massive believer that is life without love?
Well, family must mean a lot to you, because I don't think a lot of people could say that they've worked with, like, I know you don't work together, but you work alongside your sister for so many years. And obviously... You don't normally mix family with work. They always say that, don't they? But you've obviously proven it wrong.
So it's a twin thing, I guess, yeah.
Do you think that's why?
Yeah, we've always been super close. Like, she's my best friend. We do a bit now stuff without each other, but we've really just like been right alongside each other through life. Like, even when I decided I wanted to go to uni, I was looking at like... ones where I would go and stay in halls and not be at home anymore because I thought that's, you know, the main part of uni experience.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to go to uni and she was doing an apprenticeship and in hairdressing and she was like, well, you can't go there. You've got to pick a uni near home so that you've got... And then so obviously because I went and picked a uni near home, I wasn't eligible to stay in the halls.
Yeah.
So I had to stay living at home. And I think I'd looked at like Southampton Uni maybe or Brighton.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you can't go there. That's way too far. Like, we'll never see each other.
Yeah. So that made you change your decision then to do...
Yeah, then I went and picked a uni 20 minutes up the road.
Nice.
Literally.
Yeah. What did you study?
Media and cultural studies with sociology.
Oh, yeah. Sociology is always the one people choose.
Sociology.
When they don't know what they want to do.
Do you know why I picked sociology? Because it was one of the GCSE options in secondary school.
Yeah.
And I got an A star in it. So I was like, yeah, I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
So and I remember when I did my coursework, my teacher was like, yeah, you're really good at this. So I was like, well, I'll just do it in uni then. Because in uni, you just relearn what you did in GCSE. Like,
kind of,
they
yeah.
just teach you it as though like you're brand new to the subject.
Yeah.
So it was like the first year of uni was just redoing the last year of secondary school.
Everyone pies as well the first year.
Well, actually, I didn't really.
Did you not?
No, well, not that much, because I never lived in the dorms, did I? So I didn't really feel like I got the full uni experience.
Did you finish uni?
No, I dropped out. I got bored of it, because I was just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. Okay, next one. What do you value most in a relationship or friendship? We can do friendship if you want to do me and you. What's great about me, basically?
You've probably twisted that question around.
I actually thought she was going to throw up.
And what's great about I just like having easy, open conversations. Like it just being natural.
In friendships.
Everything just being natural. Like nothing's forced. You could not see each other for ages. And when you talk, it's like there's been no time at all.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Never run out of conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I never run out of conversation anyway in most situations. But, you know.
Yeah.
Just natural, like, easiness.
And then is it different in a relationship for you?
What?
Like, what you value. I guess, is it similar to a friendship? I guess
just
it kind of
like
is.
Just, like, trust, respect.
Yeah.
Everything in any relationship.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, good communication, respect.
Yeah.
Honesty.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, usual stuff.
I've got all those qualities. Awesome. So, What role does love and affection play in your life?
I'm a very affectionate person. I think I'm a very loving, affectionate person, personally.
Is it like more, do you pride things on more like, what? Do you know, because for me personally, because we've known each other quite a while, I think what you say really like affectionate-wise is like, because obviously, you know, what we do and what we work, we don't really get to like, we can't cuddle in bed at the moment, do you know what I mean? So it's more like what you say type thing. So like you always, I always go to you if I have something that's like, I don't know, like a hard decision or something that isn't, like I don't know about, because I question a lot of things. And then with you, you kind of give me a straight answer, but you do it in an affectionate way.
I'm quite a decisive person.
Yeah.
I don't really overthink things too much.
But you also do it in a way where...
But I try to say things as nicely as possible
while
also being like quite a harsh, like, come on now, just get over shit. Like, that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
But I try to deliver it in a nice way.
Yeah, I think you do.
Thanks.
I saw
and like, I never get off the phone to like friends and family without going, love you.
Yeah.
All right, love you, bye.
Share with your partner, oh, that's me, an embarrassing moment in your life. Do you have an embarrassing moment?
I don't really embarrass that easily, to be honest with you. I'm
kind of put you on the spot.
And also, I was probably blind drunk at the moment at that time, so I won't even remember it anyway.
That's true. I have so many of them.
What, of me?
No, not of you, of me.
or both. It's more the embarrassment for me is like, you know, like when I've been, that's really the only time I actually do feel a bit embarrassed is like when I've been drunk and then the next day someone's like, oh, you did this yesterday. Like he was jumping off a table and I'm like, oh, why? Like, what did I do that for? And I'm like, oh, I don't remember, so don't tell me.
But I think we've all been there though.
Yeah. You know, and I finally got sensible actually.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
It's what? Only taken me 34 years, guys.
Hey.
It's only taken me 34 years, but I finally got a bit sensible.
What helped you with that?
Time and age.
Yeah. Did you just think of just making a decision? And you're just like, I can't.
Yeah, I just thought, I can't be that wacky, wild girl all the time, can I?
Like, no.
Piss a Priya. No one called me that. I just made that up on the spot. Literally. That was not my nickname. I just made that up.
Yeah.
Also, I just can't deal with hangovers anymore.
No.
I like to be productive now and I don't really want to just spend my day in bed wallowing in my hangover.
Yeah.
That then leads on for like another week out of it.
Because when you were partying and obviously when you first started Babe Station, like, I guess I remember when I was... I don't know, would you say 21, 20, were you? In your 20s when you started?
Who, me or you?
You.
Yeah, I was 21.
21.
Mm.
You didn't really get, I didn't feel like I got a hangover then. Or...
Oh, I've always got hangovers, yeah, always. They just went quicker than they do now. Like,
yeah.
I could get a hangover, I could spend the whole day in bed, like, chucking up and feeling like crap, but then I'll still get to work that night, and then when I get to work, I'll snap out of it, and I'd be like, okay, round two.
Yeah.
But now, that's not happening for me.
No, I agree
with that. I need about a week to recover now. And I like to, I don't, you know, now as well, it can affect your mood. You're feeling a bit like down for days.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't really like being a Debbie Downer. I like to just get on with shit.
Yeah. This question, this one I picked personally for you because of your, how proud you are of your house. So your house containing everything you own catches on fire. After saving the, you know, your pets and things you love, what is the first thing you dash for in your home and what could it be and why? Like if you could get something out.
The pictures of my grandparents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some pictures of my grandparents that I have up in my house that I would be really upset if they burn. And I've got like a Ganesh statue on my wall that I got when I was in India from when I was quite young. And I think if that was to burn now, I'd be really upset by that. But everything else, I mean, I've got home insurance. It's all replaceable.
That's
so
true.
I wouldn't really care that much, to be honest. I mean, I don't want my house to set on fire. I'm not trying to put that out there. But I mean, it's...
I'll put it out there.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's insured. So worst comes to worst, you just get a new house, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. I've never been to India.
I didn't think you would have.
No. Well, some people were going on holiday for it.
Oh, yeah.
How is India?
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, it's a culture shock. I never did like the touristy aspect.
I'd love to go.
I've seen people go to India and, you know, they go to these like gorgeous like 5-star hotels and they're on the beach and stuff. Like I didn't go there on a holiday. I went there and stayed with family and stuff. So I was going to where people live and that. So it's a real culture shock, I loved it. Like, I loved staying with my family.
What made it a culture shock? What do you mean? Like, as in just like...
I mean, you've got cows just walking on the road with people.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you've got, like, goats and, you know, you've got these little mopeds that in England you're getting two people top whack on a moped. There's, like, 7 people on a moped. Like,
and I can see that's a bit of a culture shock.
When they drive, they drive with just permanently honking the horn. Nobody lets off their horn.
Mm.
So I don't really understand what the whole point of beeping your horn is.
It's because no one does
everyone's doing it. You literally, it's like you have one hand on the steering wheel and then one hand, and you're just going like this the entire time. And I'm like, what even is the point of the horn at this point? But yeah, and there's a lot of poverty, like more poverty than you would ever see over here.
Mm.
There's like people living in shacks on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Like you in England, say for instance, you go into central London, you might go in the tube station, go in the underpass and there's the odd homeless person there or on the street. But in India, there's like hordes of homeless people just on streets. Yeah. There's a lot of poverty and it's, you know, certain parts of it, they're really busy and hustly bustly. It's just like nothing like England.
Yeah.
So it is. And the first time I went over there, it was just Pretty and I, our other sister's still never been to India to this day. We've been twice, but our other sister's never been. But the first time we went with our grandparents. Like our mum and dad didn't even come with us.
Mm.
And we were only 10. And it was, so what was, 1998 we went in, I think. So we were just about to turn 10.
Mm.
And we just went with our grandparents and we went for a whole month.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, and you went over there and like, because it's like a complete change of environment and different foods and different water. I remember being really sick for a bit when I first got there.
Yeah.
But Indian people, they're so lovely, especially when you're with family. Like they're so hospitable.
They are,
You get looked after so well. Mm. Like it is a really beautiful place.
Yeah, because obviously you saw a different bit where if I was going to go to India, obviously it would show me a different side
you'd
of
go
it.
Like the touristy the side, wouldn't of it. You? Yeah.
It's something I'd always want to do, like China, India, that sort of, I want to, anything that's different cultures always interested me.
Well, I went to Japan and I loved Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Japan was amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Japan.
Yeah, Japan's really nice.
How long did you go for?
Just shy of 2 weeks. I think it was like 12 days we went for. Yeah. I loved Bali, Thailand.
Okay, yeah.
I've been Bali.
Loved. When I went to Bali, I only managed to go there for like 6 days because it was on the back of a trip from, we had been in the Philippines first.
Yeah.
And we had done a while in the Philippines and then we went to Bali and then we flew home from Bali.
Yeah.
And so we only were in Bali for 6 days and it wasn't enough at all.
Yeah.
I want to get an Airbnb villa and come and live here for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I never did it.
No.
But COVID was not long after, to be fair.
Really?
So that kind of put a spanner in the works for everything.
So is that recently?
It was a good few years ago.
Yeah.
I actually remember when COVID hit, I was in Costa Rica.
Just as
COVID had hit and it was becoming a thing, I went to Costa Rica that March. And I remember while I was in, I had been in Costa Rica for like 2 weeks. And while I was there, everything, before I went, it was kind of like, oh yeah, there's this COVID, you know, you should kind of stay at home and not travel. And originally we had wanted to go to Thailand.
Yeah.
So we were like, all right, maybe we just won't go Thailand then, but Costa Rica will be fine. And I was on that pretense, like, oh, it's just a flu. Like everything's fine.
No one knew how serious it was.
Yeah, everyone's being dramatic. So we went to Costa Rica. And then while we were in Costa Rica, then obviously the toilet roll crisis happened back home and everything was, everything was getting a bit crazy. And then I remember they started talking about restaurants being shut and then the borders getting shut.
Yeah.
And then there was one flight, the last flight left out of Costa Rica back to England actually happened to be the flight that I had already got a seat on and was coming back on anyway. So I was quite lucky, like it didn't cut my holiday short or anything like that. And then I got back home and then literally like 3 days later, we went into lockdown.
Oh, that's lucky.
Mm.
You could have been locked out and locked in Costa Rica.
I would
though.
Not have minded.
No, exactly.
No,
oh, no.
I would have just got myself a little beach house.
That's it.
I would have been fine.
Got internet. OnlyFans still works.
Exactly. I had my phone, a bit of Wi-Fi. I would have been fine.
Easy peasy. Cool. Well, there's only one last one. It says, congratulations, you've answered all the questions. We haven't, but we did. He goes, in order to solidify your love, you now must look into your partner's eyes for 4 minutes in silence. Do you reckon we could do that?
No. Four minutes? Well, That's a long time. Let's do 4 seconds.
4 seconds? Or what about 1 minute? We could do 1 minute.
All right, go on then.
Well, so Pretty. Pretty said that you always stare into someone's eyes when you cheers them. And you're looking into my eyes right now.
Yeah, I do.
Quite good at eye contact.
Yeah. Actually, because if I'm talking to someone and they're not looking at me, I'm like, are you listening to me? I feel like they're not listening to me if they're not looking at me. Like if their eyes wander off, I'm like, have you stopped listening to me now? But I think 4 minutes seems a little bit intense. I actually randomly watched Married at First Sight the other week and they did this exercise where they had to just sit
there
staring.
They stole it off this quiz.
Probably.
Yeah.
They had to sit there staring into each other's eyes and I thought, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? Like, I would just start laughing at some point and be like, can we talk? Can we talk now?
What did they do it when they were on it? What did they laugh when they were on it? Did they just find it awkward when you watched it?
There was one girl on there. She was just awkward in general. Like, yeah. She was like one of these girls that was like, I can't be loved. I've got a wall up and no one can get in. You know, like one of those kind of people.
Sounds like me.
So when she was doing it, the guy she was doing it with, he was all up for it and he was like proper looking at her and she was like, oh, this is so awkward. Like, I cannot look at you.
Yeah.
But
we love
the gay couple did it quite well, I think.
We love our dating shows.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Love is Blind.
I've not seen any of them.
What? Alan, what do you do with your spare time?
So,
what's Love is Blind?
What is
don't
love
you
is
watch
blind?
Netflix ever?
Yeah, but I don't watch.
Don't ask me what Netflix is.
So me and
that is our thing, isn't it?
Me and P do message each other because when the newest season came out, we kept messaging each other like, "Have you watched this bit?"
The only problem is like they release the episodes on a Friday and they release them in batches of like 4 or 5 episodes. And obviously, I work on a Thursday night, don't I? So and then I work from home on a Friday night. So Friday daytimes, I literally just chill for the whole day. So if you release the episodes on a Friday, I'm bashing them all out in one go. And Sam's obviously like back in here by like 2 p.m. or something. And then so I'm always messaging like, have you watched it yet? So we can talk about it. And then it's like 2 weeks later by the time he watches it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm over it by now. Like,
actually, is that the one where they're dressed up in costumes?
No.
That's have you seen that one? That one is weird.
What one do they dress up?
It's an English one when they do fancy dress and they can't see each other at all. But they're like the makeup's so. I'm sure it's on Channel 4. The makeup's so ridiculous that you can't tell what the person looks like and they sit on a date. Have you seen that?
No. Find out what that's called because I might watch it.
I'm sure it's like dating creatures
or something like that. So much crap on TV though because I just watch a lot of TV.
But Love is Blind is the same sort of thing. So it's like that but mixed with Married at First Sight. So there's like a bunch of people. They all get to, it's like they, obviously...
In
the pods, and they're like two rooms, and there's only a wall splitting them, so they can hear each other, but they can't see each other.
Oh, okay.
And they all have dates with each other, so it's like obviously speed dating.
Yeah, and it's really intense. Like they fall in love in like two episodes, they're all in love with each other, and then they propose to each other, and then once they propose, they
see each
get
other.
To the big reveal.
So they propose to each other behind the wall, and then they if they say yes, then they get to see each other. No, normally it's normally quite
normally,
good.
Normally, yeah, normally they're all right. Apart from the most recent series where that girl got the ick as soon as she saw him, you could tell she was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Because she was like, no.
And like every time he went near her, she was like,
But the thing is, that's not what's good about Love is Blind. What's good about Love is Blind is that they all go on a honeymoon together.
Oh, yeah.
But they've all been talking to each other.
Just the beginning initial so bit. There's so much more afterwards.
They all start, so they're like, oh, we sparked a thing as well. I didn't realise that you looked like that. And it's like, well, then looks sort of start to come into play a little bit now. And then if that works out well and everything's gone okay there, then they meet the families and then they have to explain to the family that I'm getting married with this person in 4 weeks that I don't even know.
And as well, like, because they're all dating each other at the beginning and it's like speed dating almost, but like they all sit there. Sometimes like one person might think they've got a love connection with like two or three people, but then go with one person. And then when they all meet up afterwards and then they see the other person they thought they had a love connection with, but didn't go for them. Then sometimes there's a bit of like, you know, like, oh God, they look nice. Maybe I should have gone with them. And there's always a little bit of a tea on it, isn't there?
That's it.
Sam, is that the one you've...
No, I've applied for First Dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the one I've applied for. I'm waiting to hear back, but I haven't heard
anything
back.
Oh, I didn't know you applied.
Yeah.
When he sent me, not that long ago, he sent me a screenshot of like Love is Blind UK, and I've been on him ever since. I keep messaging him, have you replied? Have you applied to Love is Blind UK yet?
Sorry, I've got the application in front of me. And I do need to ask you some questions. I need to upload some pictures and stuff like that as well. But one of the things on the first page they want me is like my Instagram link and stuff like that. But the first one...
You can do that bit on your own.
Occupation. Am I put in Babe Station?
Ooh, good question.
I mean...
It will help
you
with your application, I reckon.
Yeah. Put Babe Station producer. Because they're not... That's not what... I'm not saying you need to tell the girl in the pod that straight away. But if you put that on your application, like... Ooh... Controversial. Let's get him on the show.
And then, but so when would I tell her? Would I do it in the pod? Because you're going to have to ask.
Well, I mean, the sooner you say it, the better. Because then if you don't say it, it's like you think it's a bad thing and it's not a bad thing.
No. So I need to upload a face picture. Could you take
it? Do you want me to take one for you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice background. Now, maybe we should keep the microphone in it.
Yeah.
Oh. For me.
Oh, okay. That would work.
You've got strawberry on your teeth.
Oh, thanks.
Go like that and then you're done. All right, there we go.
Yeah. So what am I doing? Smiling, looking? Am I looking at the camera?
Well, stop talking at first.
Okay.
This is a nice picture, you know. I'm quite good at making pictures, clearly. I think that's such a good picture. Look how well it's framed as well. Oh,
that is good.
That background really sets it off, don't you think?
Yeah.
And you look smart in there with your best man suit on. If you don't get picked, that's their decision. But you have to put yourself forward.
And then I'll get married. Well, unless I match with someone. I assume a lot of people don't get matched.
I'm going to come to the wedding, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. You'll be the friends that she has to meet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make you look real good, don't
Yeah, you? That's it. It could be my mum and you and Pretty.
Yeah.
And then you can
and
just
then
grill
anyway,
her.
Then when she worries, like, because obviously people are naturally just going to be like, oh, they're around all these horny women that just probably jump them all the time. Because obviously people who don't know us don't really know, like, the dynamics of how things work here and all our relationships.
Yeah.
And everyone has these pretense thoughts, don't they? So when she meets Preeti and I, then she'll just be like, oh yeah, they're just like two of his mates.
That's it.
So like, I don't actually need to worry about him working at Babe Station.
That's it. And then she'll be like, why did you apply?
Like,
and
I was like, honestly, you're fine. <That's it>.
Thanks, mate. So how did you apply? Well, I was on a date with Priya and then, yeah, there we go. Sorted. Okay. Well, that's everything, P.
Oh, brilliant.
That's what I got. You were awesome.
Oh, thanks.
You're amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Same with you.
Thank you, everyone. That was the Option One podcast with the love of Priya. If you could tell them to subscribe and follow the Option One podcast, they'll do it if you say it.
Subscribe and follow and like.
Yay!
My YouTube channel, please.
Nice. Thanks. We're out. Cheers.
You're through to Option One. Option One podcast.